Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Disciple Me Again. This is your host, Dr. Holly. I'm really excited about this particular topic that we're focusing on, Pray, Woman, Pray. And so our subtopic for today is going to be, why should we pray? And so the focus and main scripture for all of the topics that we're going to touch base on throughout the month of January is going to come from the book of Acts, chapter 12, beginning at verse 5. Again, that's Acts 12, verse 5. And it reads, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So, again, our subtopic today is, why should we pray? Now, the answer to this question is very, very easy. We should pray because as children of God, we are commanded to pray. So I'm going to throw out some scriptures here, and they're really going to hit home on to you because this is going to be a reality of why we should pray. So here we go. Matthew 26 and 41 says to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Luke 18 and 1 says, men should always pray and not faint. Ephesians 6 and 18 tells us we should pray always with prayer and supplication in the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 admonishes us to pray continually. God's word clearly instructs us to pray. The question may be asked, why does God instruct us to pray when he is omnipresent, meaning he is everywhere, when he is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful, when he is omniscient, meaning all-knowing, or why should we pray when God is everywhere, in control of all things, and knows everything? The answer is this. God has chosen the vehicle of prayer to accomplish his work in the lives of his children. See, we must understand that because God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, Isaiah 55 and 8, we will never fully understand or ever figure God out. Now, because of our faith and belief in God, there are many things about the Christian walk we must accept at face value just because of our belief. And Paul said it best. He said, now we see, but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. Now, I know that may have went over some of you guys' head, and that's okay because I'm going to break that down to you exactly what Paul was saying. In other words, Paul was saying in this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, we do not understand everything now, but one day we will. The command to pray is one of those things. We pray because God commands us to pray, and God works in the lives of his people through prayer. And even though we do not fully understand how or why this is so, believe me, my brothers and sisters, we will understand it better by and by. God used prayer in biblical times to transform people and change circumstances. And so I'm going to throw out some situations for some people that, you know, God used to transform people and change their circumstances, and I'm also going to provide you those scriptures. And so Moses prayed, and God provided water for the children of Israel. That's in Exodus 15, verses 24 through 25. Hannah prayed, and God blessed her with a child. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. Jehoshaphat prayed, and God delivered him and the people of Judah out of the hands of their enemies. That's in 2 Chronicles, chapters 18 through chapter 20. Ezra prayed, and God entreated him. That's Ezra chapter 8, verse 23. Samuel prayed for Israel, and they were victorious over the Philistines. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. The early church prayed, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's in Acts 4, verse 31. Now, even the disciples recognized the significance of prayer, because one of them went to Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and asked him to teach them how to pray. The one thing that you must understand that is most important is Jesus himself prayed. Now, since Jesus saw the need to pray, think about it. How much more should we pray? Jesus saw the need, so obviously think about it. How much more should we as believers pray? So at this time, as we have a few minutes remaining in our time for today, I want to give some questions, pose some questions to you that will allow for some introspect to happen, for you to examine yourself and take time to really ask yourself these questions. Always remember to have your journals by you so you can write these things down and answer these questions for yourself so that you can reflect back on these moments as we go through these sessions, because this is about a growth experience. And so even for myself, as I go into this, I don't claim to know everything about the Bible, but what I can say is that every time I pick up the Bible, every time I study something, I always grow continuously, and I'm always learning. And that's what I love about it. Even when I'm teaching, I'm still learning, and I love that. So I want to take this opportunity to throw these questions out to you to allow for you to examine yourself and to really delve a little bit deeper. And so ask yourself these questions and really dissect yourself. The first one is, number one, do you sometimes find it difficult to pray? Why or why not? So I'm going to give you my response. Sometimes I find it difficult to pray. As I have grown in my Christian walk, one of the things that I do is I get in my prayer corner, I go to, you know, and I'm, you know, about faith, and I'm just in the zone, and sometimes I'm just meditating, and I'm just quiet before God. And sometimes if I just sit there for, like, a long, long time, I can find the spirit of sleepiness that will fall over me because of the peace that surrounds me. And that's why in the Bible that, you know, when Jesus went up to the mountaintop to pray and he left the disciples and said, you know, came back and they were sleeping, he was like, can you not watch and pray, you know, just for 1 hour, but for 1 hour? And because within that time, I know it was probably peaceful. You know, they were sitting there, they got a little bit bored, just watching, you know, and praying for that 1 hour. And the spirit of sleepiness just came over. That is real. And so that's one of the things that I have experienced in my time. That sometimes I find it difficult to pray. It's very easy for me to pray for other people. Sometimes it's very hard for me to pray for myself or for, you know, for my immediate family, like my husband and my children. So those are some things that I kind of like can battle with, but I thank God for the close circle that I do have that I can count on to kind of uplift me and to pray in agreement with me on some things and everything. Here's question number two. If you don't feel like praying, will your prayer be sincere? Now, if you don't learn nothing about prayer, you have to understand that prayer is a matter of the heart. So if you do not feel like praying, understand this, prayer, your prayer is not sincere because it's a heart matter. So ask yourself that question. Have you ever been in a place where you're like, I really don't feel like praying, but you did it anyway? Then there should be a sense of conviction that comes about because then your prayer was not sincere. We have to be able to do this and be sincere about it, cheerful about it, willing. There has to be a willingness, all that. There has to be definitely sincerity about it because otherwise you're just doing it in vain. Number three, what can you do to become more consistent in your prayer life? This is a good one. One of the things that I did that I found that, because, I mean, over the years, I was always taught, you know, you kneel by your bed, you can pray where you are. I mean, all these different things. We get in the hustle and bustle. We're driving in our cars, you know, just different things. And so one of the things that I found that was very effective for me was to actually establish that prayer corner in my room, in my husband and I room. And so it is a quiet place, a secret place, a sacred place for me. Whether I'm jumping out of the bed, I can just go straight there, go in. People know, you know, my people that's here in this household know, do not bother me when you see me in the corner. And so for me, that has helped me to have a more consistent prayer life, because now it's like I know that that is a dedicated place. Sometimes that's just a mind thing. But I know that it's still a dedicated place. It's there. It's something that's tangible that I can see. And so it's like I'm going somewhere. And so if that helps you, then great. Create you a place that it's like I got to get to, you know, this place of prayer, and so that you can have that. And so that's something that worked for me, that I will go there no matter, you know, what. So whether it's in the morning time when I'm coming in from my office, or, you know, night before bed, or just whenever I feel like, you know, on the weekends, I can just go and lay there and meditate and just lay prostrate before God. And that is my sacred, you know, place. So that is a good thing to be able to have. So I just want to encourage those kind of things for you to really ask yourself the question, what can you do to become more consistent in your prayer life and find what works for you? Amen? Well, this concludes our section of Pray, Woman, Pray, as we have gone over the topic, why should we pray? And so our next topic that we will delve off into the next time that we touch base is going to be on how we should pray. So I want to thank you for chiming in, listening to this, and I hope that it is doing you some justice. I hope it is definitely edifying your spirit. And I do not take you being a part of this Disciple Me series for granted, and I thank God for you and your presence. So I look forward to meeting up with you guys next time. And as always, remember this. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. I am Dr. Holly, your host. Be blessed and be a blessing.